Hello and welcome to our site on this beautiful Sunday morning in Cape Town, South Africa, where it's Mother's Day, the 12th of May, 2024. We continue in our series Back to the Bible, and we have reached the book of Ruth this morning. Well, as the saying goes, never judge a book by its cover. And the little book of Ruth shows, never measure the value of a book by its bulk. It's a bit like saying, dynamite comes in little packages. Big doesn't always mean better. To many people, Ruth is their favorite Old Testament book. The background to the book is revealed in the opening words, and it came to pass in the days that the judges judged. We saw last Sunday how those days were terrible. Seven cycles of Israel's history when they entered the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Seven cycles of disobedience leading to defeat and desperation, followed by crying out to God in desperation, followed by his deliverance, followed by another cycle of apostasy and devastation. In the end, the infighting almost wiped out the tribe of Benjamin. This beautiful story of Ruth comes out of that awful time of religious apostasy, political disorganization, and social chaos. It's a wonderful reminder of the unfailing grace of God, who never leaves himself without witness, even in the worst of times. In the darkest of days, the light of God has never been totally extinguished. Doesn't that remind you of John's prologue to his gospel in the New Testament? The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. If you'll allow me poetic license, here's the story in simple rhyme. I have called it Ruth, the Triumph of True Love. In the days when the judges ruled Israel, there was famine throughout the land. The people who had chosen to be a light to the nations were suffering under God's hand. Instead of being faithful to the Lord their God, they had turned away from his ways. Now they were struggling because of their sin. Hardship filled all of their days. But out of this season of deprivation comes the beautiful story of Ruth, a story as thrilling as any you will find, a tale of hope and truth. Our story begins with Elimelech, from Bethlehem, an Ephrathite. He and his wife, Naomi, had never known things so tight. Then they heard there was food down in Moab, where dwelt the descendants of Lot. The thought was especially appealing when they looked at their empty pot. Their sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were hungry. The cupboard was bare. So they packed their belongings for Moab and began the long journey there. For a while, life seemed better in Moab, but trials then entered their lives. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died, and the sons married Moabite wives. A decade went by, then trouble again. Now Mahlon and Chilion died. Naomi the widow was left in grief, with the Moabite wives at her side. Then she heard there was food back in Judah, that the Lord had come to their aid. She shared the news with her daughters-in-law, and plans to return were made. But when they set out, Naomi said to the women, "It's better you both return home. There is no hope for a husband and children, if to Bethlehem with me you come." They kissed each other and wept aloud, and Orpah said farewell. But Ruth just clung to her mother-in-law, and then had this to tell, "Entreat me not to leave you, for by your side I will stay. Your people and your God will be mine, so best we be on our way." The journey was long and arduous, but finally to Bethlehem they came. Though Naomi was feeling so downcast, she wanted to change her name. "Best call me Bitter," she said to her friends, "for the Lord has afflicted me. I went away full, moved out of his will, and return empty, as you can see. But God was still in full control, a providential web he had spun. When Naomi and Ruth entered Bethlehem, the harvest had only begun. Ruth went to glean the leftovers in the fields of a wealthy man. Boaz was a man of high standing who belonged to Elimelech's clan. His reapers were told to look after Ruth, make sure she had plenty of grain. Naomi said, "He's related to us. You must go back there again. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has a right to Elimelech's land. We could become his possession under God's gracious hand." Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz. Romance was soon in the air. The man fell in love with the Moabitess and took her into his care. He gathered the elders of the town together, and the redemption arrangement was done. He then married Ruth, the Moabitess, who his longing heart had won. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive. She gave birth to a baby boy, placed the bundle in Naomi's arms, and her heart was filled with joy. The baby Obed became the father of Jesse, the father of David the king. From David's line the Christ was born, who did salvation bring. 1,000 years later in Bethlehem, our Saviour had his birth. All the angels sang for joy as heaven came to earth. Both Jew and Gentile were redeemed when on the cross he died. He paid our debt and took our place when he was crucified. The book of Ruth has a powerful message. Today it is relevant still, warning us all that it does not pay to move out of our Father's will. But even if our stubborn hearts don't listen, and we choose thus to depart, there is no place we can get away from our Father's loving heart. So heed the message of this book, and to the Father turn, and let the fire of his wonderful love weigh down in your heart burn. This is a great book for us, I think you'll agree, to look at on this Mother's Day. But actually, like all books of the Bible, they're good for any day. What a great story, though. Naomi of Beit Lechem, the house of bread, goes with her husband, Elimelech, to look for a better life in Moab. The descendants of Lot live there. Her two sons marry Moabite wives, who of course are not part of the covenant race of Israel. But a decade later, both her husband and her two sons have died, and Naomi returns to Bethlehem with Ruth. Her bitterness is about to be turned into sweetness. The harvest is only beginning. Boaz marries Ruth, and their baby Obed is placed into Naomi's lap, and she nurses the grandson who becomes the grandfather of David, Israel's favorite king. Of course, Ruth and Boaz are the main characters in this poignant story of deprivation and sorrow that ends in the romance of a lifetime. Ruth came from a place of disadvantage. She was not a member of the chosen race. She laid no claim to the great patriarchs of Israel, the covenants and the law of Moses and the promises. But she had the gift of an open mind. She had the gift of a teachable spirit. And she gladly embraced the faith of her mother-in-law. And when the choice came to stay home or be faithful to Naomi, she responded in words now immortal. Ruth said to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." She turned her back on the empty religion and vain idolatry of her past. Ruth was willing to pay the price of forsaking family and ungodly acquaintances, and crossed the Jordan with Naomi and headed for Bethlehem, not knowing what would befall her there. Would she be rejected because of her background and race, treated as an unwanted outcast by the Jews? What a lesson we can all learn from Ruth. When you have an open mind, dear friend, when you have an open heart, and when you are searching for truth and reality, God is already moving toward you in grace, with no concern about what others think about you, or even what you think about yourself. His grace is not based on your merit, or your race, or your station in life. God says to you this morning, as he said through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. If you'd like to turn to that lovely passage in your Bible, let me read it to you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and I will come. And you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. Friend, God blesses an open mind. God blesses an open heart and a willingness to pay the price of loyalty and faithfulness. In his hand, these become the qualities that lead to greatness in the work of his kingdom. Likewise, we find in Boaz the qualities of true manhood, integrity, courtesy, a blend of courage and tender passion, a man who lived a godly life in the midst of an ungodly people who were doing what was right in their own eyes. In Boaz we see a man who stood true in the midst of untruth, faithful to God in the midst of apostasy, cautious yet courageous. Unlike Ruth, who came from nothing with nothing, as it were, Boaz came from a position of advantage and privilege. And yet, what do we see shining through the life of Boaz? Humility, compassion, integrity, righteousness, and godliness. Boaz and Ruth teach us today that it's not our circumstances that make us or break us. It's our faith in God and his word. Faith in God, dear friend, makes us think like God. Faith in God makes us act like God, irrespective of our circumstances. Here were two people, Boaz and Ruth, both from so different a background, and yet both willing to listen to God. And friend, if you listen to God too, he'll come through for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you will yet go through, if you can just listen to God and be wholly committed to the Lord in faithfulness, in loyalty, in trust, in perseverance, there's no limit to what God can do in you and through your life. Ruth and Boaz show us this morning that faith is not a sentiment, it's a commitment to know God and do his will. God gives us the faith as we show ourselves faithful. I repeat that. God gives us the faith as we show ourselves faithful. And look what the result is. Boaz and Ruth never dreamed what God would do, as they simply committed themselves to him and to each other in love. They had no idea what a link in the chain of world redemption they would be, how their baby Obed would grow up to marry and in that marriage produce Jesse, who in time became the father of David, one who would be Israel's favorite king, how a prophet would arise to declare in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, out of you will come one who will rule Israel, even though you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. A wonderful prophecy about Jesus, centuries before he came. Do you see what's happening here? The harvest of their godliness, the harvest of the faithfulness, loyalty, and commitment of Boaz and Ruth came centuries later. They never lived to see the ultimate harvest of their faithfulness, how they would fulfill prophecies made centuries before they existed concerning the Messiah who would come to redeem Israel and be the Savior of the world many centuries after they existed. What does this teach us, dear friend, this morning? It teaches us to leave the outcome of our faithfulness to God and to each other to the Lord himself. You see, God takes an eternal perspective on our faithfulness in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our ministry, in our stewardship of what God has given to us. God takes an eternal perspective. We look at today or tomorrow or just our short span of life on this earth. Dear friend, Boaz and Ruth remind us today, God looks way beyond that. He has an eternal perspective on your life and on your service. A long time before you and I were born, Robert Morrison wrote in his diary, and I quote, "This day I entered with Mr. Laidler to learn Latin. I paid 10 shillings and 6 pence, and I am to pay 1 guinea per quarter. I know not what may be the end. God only knows." End of quote. Friend, that 10 shillings and 6 pence was the beginning of a linguistic education and career which made Morrison the translator of the Bible, opened the way for all the work that was done in China for the gospel of Jesus Christ for the next 100 years and more. You may never know what God will do with what you do for his glory in faithfulness in this short time span. The Apostle Paul was beaten and imprisoned and had to content himself with writing letters from prison. No personal computer, no smartphone, no technology, no Wi-Fi, nothing like that. But today those letters are greater than the sum total of his missionary travels. They constitute the greatest exposition of the Christian faith for 2,000 years now. So what are we saying in the end on this Mother's Day? God isn't asking for your ability, just your availability. God is not asking for an impressive CV. God is asking for your faithfulness. God is not asking for your money. God is asking for your heart. God is asking that you commit yourself to him and follow him, like Joshua and Caleb, that you follow wholeheartedly so that you can enter into the fullness of the inheritance he has for you in Jesus. And God alone knows what he will do if you will just give him your love and your loyalty. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, on this Mother's Day of 2024, we praise you and thank you that wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation today or tomorrow, we can, like Ruth and Boaz, entrust ourselves fully to you and enable us by your grace to be faithful in our commitment to you and to one another. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you take an eternal perspective on our life and service. And we thank you that there's no limit to what you can do, not just in our lifetime, but because of our lifetime, in centuries to come. Thank you, Father, that nothing is too hard for you. You are the God with whom all things are possible. And so today we long that through our lives and through your church in these troubled times, your name will be hallowed, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray that you would deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion, companionship, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.